The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the September issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're looking at the front cover. Elite quarterback. It has a picture of, half a picture of, champion, football champion. Let's find out a little bit about him. Elite quarterback, go-to receiver, SI Kids cover, eye of the tiger, ideal outcome, Joe Burrow of the Cincinnati Bengals. Well, we can look forward to in this issue, the blueprint for every league, page 34, Major League Baseball, get rich or try vying, NBA align your stars, and NHL tank. As we look forward to the variety of articles we have on the in the front cover, building a championship on page 34, how do you put together a championship team in the big four sports? If you're on NFL franchise, you make a quarterback like Joe Burrow the centerpiece. The Coyotes will play this year in an unusual temporary home. They're not the first team to do so. That's on page 18. Derek Jeter, an anonymous royal. Charles Barkley on NBA champ. What if stars found themselves in other markets? Page 22. Page 46, keeping up with the Joneses. These teammates with the same name prove the necessity for jersey numbers. And finally on page 48, for nearly 20 years, three players have dominated men's tennis. Teenager Carlos Alcaraz is out to change that. In the faves, page 2, freeze frame. Sports cards, page 7. Hot take, page 9. Birthdays, page 12. Posters, page 27. What's the call, page 52. Games, page 53. Art gallery, page 54. And finally, Buzz Beamer on page 56. And here we go, freeze frame. Oh, what a view. Aloha means goodbye. August 19, 2022, Williamsport, Pennsylvania. After bidding farewell to a pitch in the third inning, Jaron Lancaster of Honolulu just missed his second home run of the game, launching this triple. Honolulu went on to beat Massapequa, New York, 12-0 at the Little League World Series, as Lancaster also pitched three shutout innings. His team went on to win the tournament, outscoring its opponents 60-5 in six games. What a beautiful, beautiful picture here. Going on to our next freeze frame, page 4. Remember Mui? August 28, 2022, Paris, France. Kylian Mbappe first made a name for himself with Monaco, leading the team to a League One title in 2017. After the season, he transferred to Paris Saint-Germain, and he has since led that club to four championships in 5 years. Mbappe welcomed his old club to town early this season, and while he was his usual dazzling self, Monaco was able to force a 1-1 draw. And here is Mbappe being aggressive with the soccer ball. Now let's go to Who's Who in Sports, page 7. Line 1. Dylan DeLucia, Ole Miss Rebels pitcher. His height is 6'1", his weight is 205 pounds, he's born August 1st, 2000. His hometown, Port Orange, Florida. After allowing just one run in 16 2/3 innings, DeLucia was named Most Outstanding Player of the 2022 College World Series, which Ole Miss won. He finished his junior season with an 8-2 record and a 3.68 ERA. He was drafted by Cleveland in the sixth round. But did you know the Rebels' 22 national title was their first officially recognized championship in any men's sport? Though the school claimed football titles in 1959, 60, and 62. Micah Parsons, Dallas Cowboys linebacker. His height is 6'3". His weight is 245 pounds. He was born May 26, 1999, in his hometown, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. After playing middle linebacker in college at Penn State, Parsons moved to the outside as a rookie and became one of the NFL's best pass rushers. He had 13 sacks, the third most ever by a first-year player, and was named NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. But did you know Parsons is an avid chess player? Before his rookie season, he said he wants to be the queen of linebackers, referring to the strongest piece on the chessboard. And finally, we have Andrew Wiggins, Golden State Warriors guard. In his eighth NBA season, by the way, Wiggins' height is 6'7". His weight is 197 pounds. He was born February 23, 1995, in hometown Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. Wiggins made his first All-Star appearance. He averaged 17.2 points per game, the lowest since his rookie year, but was an excellent role player as the Warriors won the NBA title. Wiggins led Golden State with 26 points in a key Game 5 Finals win over the Celtics. Did you know, though, only two Canadian players have been the top pick in the NBA draft? Anthony Bennett and Wiggins. They were taken in consecutive years, 2013 and 2014, by the same team, the Cavaliers. Now we're on to warm-up, hot take. By Skip Shoremore. Geez, would you look at that? And now they expect us to care about the Major League playoffs. In case you've been living under a rock, the image above came from the James Webb Space Telescope, launched last December and currently orbiting our sun. I'm saying our sun because after looking at the first batch of Webb images released in July, everything about our little solar system suddenly seems quaint. This photo is of SMAX J0723.3-7327, a cluster of galaxies famous for its beauty and easy-to-remember name. See those little tiny orange and white swirls that take up just a few milliliters each on this page? They look like galaxies because they are galaxies, or were. Our own galaxy, the Milky Way, is 600,000 trillion miles across. I'm not even going to tell you how many football fields that is. The Milky Way contains hundreds of billions of planets. Only about 100 billion human beings have ever existed. Each tiny dot is in that photo could have easily contained more planets than have ever been people. Do you think any of them hit 750 career home runs? I have to use the past tense because that photo shows those galaxies as they were 4.6 billion years ago. It took the light captured in the picture that long to travel to our solar system. The Earth is only 4.543 billion years old. You're looking at something as it was before our entire planet formed, even before Tom Brady was drafted. Where some might see our ultimate cosmic insignificance, I see a huge opportunity for the expansion of the KIPP brand. These images would be the start of a brand new era of discovery. And the first step in finding something is seeing it. One thing Webb will allow scientists to see more clearly is exoplanets, worlds outside our solar system. Webb records the light that reflects off a planet and then breaks apart that data to estimate the chemical composition of the atmosphere. Pretty wild, huh? In theory, this telescope could detect Earth-like clouds around a planet trillions of miles away. Imagine it. Entire world full of potential new SI Kids readers. Maybe on some of those worlds, the sentient species as a Yoder-esque 400-year-old child. Most of you kids ditched this magazine around 16. We just have to figure out how to broadcast my column so it's not 4.6 billion years old when it arrived in their alien inboxes. Lest you think I'm being geocentric, I'm sure there's plenty these planets have to teach me as well. Let's take an already discovered exoplanet. For example, TRAPPIST, 1D is 40 light years from Earth and about a third of its size. It's so named for being the third planet orbiting TRAPPIST-1, an ultra-cool red dwarf in the Aquarius constellation. I'm not here to tell you that aliens exist and live on TRAPPIST-1D. There may be, but I'm definitely not breaking that news in the eighth paragraph of a bi-monthly column. Imagine the sports implications, however, of a habitable planet orbiting a small, cool sun. It takes 4 days for the world to complete its orbit of TRAPPIST-1. That makes me 912 years old on TRAPPIST-1D. I can get my learner's permit. Ho, ho, ho! The sky on TRAPPIST-1D varied from a day that is not brighter than our twilight to a night much brighter than ours. They could play baseball all night with no stadium lights. These hypothetical TRAPPISTians probably have eyes that have evolved to perceive objects in low light. They're going to totally dominate us in the intergalactic Olympics. Are we doing enough to combat the incoming TRAPPIST-1D archery threat? And that's just one exoplanet. NASA has identified 8,819 candidates, each with their own unique atmospheres, topographies, and potentially bat and ball games. By the way, if the TRAPPISTians or any other alien races are monitoring Earth media, I want to clarify something. We come in peace, but we're not afraid of a challenge. Just because you might have super eyes or five arms doesn't mean we're going to continue the anti-gravity basketball championship. We just want to know what we're up against so we can brief LeBron. Anyway, if you're an extraterrestrial basketball-playing species looking to challenge Earth, send first contact kip.shoremore@si.com. Skip the cornfield landings and come straight to this planet's smartest member, me. I'll be awaiting your transmissions. Continuing with warm-up reader engagement, Kip answers your questions. Levi writes, "Hey, Kip. I know most professional sports teams have mascots, and I was wondering who your favorite mascots are." Hey, Levi, I really shouldn't reveal a ranking this important on the letters page. I feel like my five top mascots could easily fill up 2 to 4 pages in the back of their magazine. In fact, I can't believe they didn't pick me for pages 46 and 47. Players with the same name? We may be running out of ideas. Anyway, I gravitate toward the mascots that don't make any sense or fit the team concept at all. Philly Fanatic. Phoenix Suns Gorilla. Stanford Tree. Yopi. Western Kentucky Big Red. Patrick writes, "I think that errors should not be given as often in the Major League Baseball. Just the other day, I saw an MVP candidate track down a foul ball toward the stands, reach over the fence, and drop it. He was charged with an error when really any other player couldn't have made the play look easy." I appreciate you protecting the identity of the MVP candidate who dropped the ball, Patrick. That shows your commitment to not taking errors seriously, and you shouldn't. Errors, after all, only measures a fielder's ability to catch the balls they reach. But it's more important to get to balls in the first place. That emphasis has led to holistic fielding stats like ultimate zone rating and total zone runs. According to total zone runs, Orioles third baseman Brooks Robinson prevented more opposing scoring through his fielding than any other player in history, 293 runs. He also made 264 errors and the Hall of Fame. Simone writes, "If Steph Curry played in the 80s or 90s, would he still be as dominant as he is now?" Simone, you're asking the tough questions. It's hard for me to imagine Curry in the 80s or 90s. In fact, it's hard for me to imagine the 80s or 90s at all. The problem with sending a trailblazing player back in time is how close-minded the coaches would be. In the 80s, Curry wouldn't have been allowed to shoot 600 threes a season. In the 90s, he'd be good, but maybe not the primary scoring option. Just imagine Curry passing up open trays to throw the ball to Shaq in the low post. September birthdays. September 1st, Colorado Avalanche center Nathan MacKinnon turns 27. September 9th, Real Madrid's Luka Modric is 37 years old. September 19th, Indianapolis Colts Stephen Gilmore celebrates his 32nd birthday. Links forward, Nafisha Collier celebrates her 26th birthday on the 23rd of September. And on the 25th of September, Detroit Pistons guard Cade Cunningham turns 21. Help wanted. Continuing with warm-up. We have a few pictures here on your headline goes here. Are you interested in sports journalism? Are you a kid between the ages of 8 and 13? Do you live in the United States or Canada? We're looking for the next group of SI Kids kid reporters who report on sports in their communities. If you're interested in applying, have an adult email kidreporter@si.com with your name, age, location, 3-story ideas, a short writing sample, and an explanation of why you want to be a kid reporter. We may not be able to reply to all applications. So we have pictures here of kid reporters interviewing a member of the White Sox. Inside baseball, kid reporters have the opportunity to represent SI Kids at events as credentialed media members. We hear Coco Gauff being interviewed. And, oh, look like we have one of the former White Sox players being interviewed by a kid reporter. Are you our next kid reporter? Send your application to kidreporter@si.com. Interviews with Chicago White Sox legend Frank Thomas, not guaranteed. Continuing with warm-up, future star Nazir Primus. Birthplace, Brooklyn, New York. Birth date, January 19, 2008. Sport, fencing. Nazir Primus loves the mental aspect of fencing, which he compares to a physical form of chess. And his mind was where it needed to be in July when he won the Youth 14 Sabre Division at USA Fencing National Championships. Nazir picked up fencing 4 years ago after his uncle introduced it to him and now trained at New York Peters Westbrook Foundation. Most kids my age would be playing basketball, football, soccer, Nazir says. I like how I stand out. Are you a sports kid? If you think you have what it takes to be a sports kid of the month, have an adult submit your nomination at sportskid@si.com. And we have a few pictures of Nazir in action. Keep it up. We may see you in the Olympics one day. Continuing with warm-up. The grid. So we have Seattle Mariners outfielder Taylor Trammell, Olympic skateboarder Mariah Duran, and Olympic runner Colleen Quigley. And here are the questions. Number one, if you could have any superpower, what would it be? Taylor says teleportation. Mariah, Professor X's. Colleen, fly or teleport. Next question. What movie have you seen the most times? Taylor, Interstellar. Mariah, Bridesmaids. Colleen, Mean Girls. Next, who is the funniest athlete that you know? Taylor, Logan Gilbert. Mariah, Manny Santiago. And Colleen says Hunter Woodall is the funniest athlete that she knows. Who is the GOAT in your sport? Ooh, Taylor Trammell, Barry Bonds. Olympic skateboarder Mariah Duran says Marissa Del Santo. And Colleen Quigley and her GOAT in her sport of running, Allison Felix. What's your hidden talent? Taylor says, well, I'm an amateur comedian. Mariah Duran says, well, quoting movies. Colleen, balancing a rolling globe and trapeze. And who is your favorite athlete outside your sport? Taylor Trammell says Steph Curry. Mariah Duran says Serena Williams. And Colleen Quigley says Kate Courtney. Fun with math. The rest is yet to come. Every NFL result that's ever happened, box scores, the yellow squares represent NFL scores that have happened. The gray spaces are what's left. The infinite monkey theorem holds that if given infinite time, a bunch of monkeys randomly banging typewriters would eventually write the complete works of William Shakespeare. You may remember in the March-April issue when Buzz tried to leverage this theory to use teams of baseball-playing primates to create new what's-the-call scenarios. Professional sports feel like they've been going on forever. They played Major League Baseball in 1876, but in the grand scheme of things, they're quite new. Every play that could happen hasn't quite happened. How do we know? Things are still happening. Football fans who followed the account at NFL_Scorajami on Twitter understand. The account posts when there's a Scorajami, a combination of score and origami, a result that's never occurred before in the NFL, sports writer John Boyce introduced the concept and coined the term in an attempt to chart every final score that hadn't yet happened. With football, in which points typically come in multiples of 3 and 7, certain scores really stick out. And the Twitter BOT gives updated odds during games of a Scorajami occurring. Once a defense records a safety or a couple of extra points get flubbed, the real excitement begins. The most recent such games, the 1,072nd was Cowboys 51, Eagles 26 in January. The board on the opposite page shows which scores are still possible. Don't expect it to fill up anytime soon. A team finishing with just 1 point is technically possible, but highly unlikely, thanks to a rule about safeties on point after attempts. Scorigami in sports that happened in 1 point increments are obviously much rarer. During their July 22nd drubbing of the Red Sox, the Blue Jays seemed destined for a Scorajami, but the game finished 28-5, a Scorajami in the NFL but not in Major League Baseball. Still, unique outcomes happen in baseball. On July 4th, the Minnesota Twins turned the first 8-5 triple play that's center fielder to third baseman, not the score, in Major League Baseball history. With Chicago White Sox runners on first and second, Byron Buxton made an over-the-shoulder catch at the wall and threw the ball back to Gio Urshela, who tagged the trailing runner before getting the lead runner out by stepping on second. So, keep watching and keep reading. Eventually, this magazine will print Shakespeare, or something just as good. What a beautiful picture we hear. See here, home away from home, Radio City Music Hall, the New York Liberty. Looks like WNBA basketball. What a great crowd. The New York Liberty knew they'd be out of an arena for 6 games in 2004 thanks to the upcoming Republican National Convention at Madison Square Garden. The run-up to the scheduling conflict gave them time to work on a creative solution. They settled on Radio City Music Hall, the Midtown Theater best known as the home of the Rockettes Dance Company. Radio City had hosted a boxing match before, though never a team sport. But after the court was physically transported 16 blocks up 6th Avenue, the games were on. The Liberty went 5-1 under the stage lights, and the venue even hosted a pre-Olympic send-off exhibition between Team USA and the remaining WNBA All-Stars. Team USA, the eventual gold medalist that year, won 74-58. The Rockettes even performed at halftime. Chicago Stadium, Chicago Bears. Several circumstances of the Chicago Bears' 1932 championship game against the Portsmouth Spartans don't square with the modern image of the NFL. It was the first playoff game in NFL history, as the league actually had a rule against postseason contests. The 1932 season ended in a tie thanks to an equally wacky regulation that determined the standings based on winning percentage excluding ties. And to avoid the wintry conditions at Wrigley Field, the game was moved to the Blackhawks Chicago Stadium. The madhouse on Madison was not a football venue, to put it mildly. Most of the punts pelted the spectators, including one that hit the organist. 34 years before the introduction of AstroTurf, the field also didn't fare well, and there wasn't that much of it to begin with, being only 60 yards long between goal lines. Given the shortened field and the proximity of the stands, field goals were totally out of the question. Despite that rule, however, the Bears managed to win 9-0 thanks to a touchdown and a safety, putting the Tempe. The Arizona Coyotes inspired this feature by moving into Arizona State University's Mullett Arena, a multi-purpose facility that can seat only 5,000 fans, and they could be there through the 2025-26 season as they try to get a new arena built. It's an odd arrangement. That figures to combine the intimacy of the Liberty stay at Radio City Music Hall with the potential for enemy fan takeovers like the Chargers witnessed at StubHub Center. In all fairness to the Yotes, however, they're not the only ones making the best of a short-term situation. Hawaii football will play in the 9,000-seat Ching Athletics Complex after Aloha Stadium was condemned. And Barcelona will be in the city's Olympic Stadium next year while Camp Nou undergoes renovations. Neither situation, however, figures to be as surreal as Arizona's. And next week, we will continue temporary stadiums, StubHub Center, Los Angeles Chargers, Sky Dome, Toronto Raptors, and we'll have much more in next week's SI Kids. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.